This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Dr. Nicole Forsgren of DORA.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me.
What is DORA? What do you do?
DORA is short for DevOps Research and Assessment. DORA is myself and Jez Humble and Gene Kim. And we do a couple of different things. We're not real creative, so it's DevOps Research and Assessment. We do research, we do assessment. So the research piece is, for the last 5 years, we've led the largest and longest research and investigation into DevOps and what practices and capabilities really drive performance in statistically significant ways. And I see that because it's really an academically rigorous report. When I first started doing this, I was actually a professor going after tenure track. So this is a really, really strong report. And then we do assessment based on all of the things that we find in our research. We've built it into a product that companies can purchase if you want to know your own special custom measurement, benchmarking, and then strategy into what you should do to get better, right? Everyone says, what should you do next? What should I do? And the answer is always, it depends. Well, it depends on where you are in your own journey, exactly what your constraints are, exactly how well you're doing on capabilities and practices. That's the commercial part of DORA. And then the, I guess, what you'd call open source part of DORA is this research that we do.
I'm really glad you used the phrase statistically relevant. I get reports on a daily basis come across my desk where 300 people worldwide have been spoken to, and suddenly 96% of companies do this. I don't think it helps inform decision making whatsoever. It sends a very false opinion. So on that basis, when you look at the report, what in particular surprised you this time round?
Oh, I love that question. There are a few things. One of them, I'm going to say it surprised me, and then a little bit that it didn't. So one is cloud. Cloud matters. And a few people are going to be listening and they're going to say, of course cloud matters. What are you talking about? We know that cloud matters. Or some of us are going to say, we know that cloud matters. But sometimes when I work with and advise companies and leadership in companies, they say, we made this investment to the cloud and it's not delivering for me. It's not working. Why am I not getting this investment back? Why am I not seeing these results that everyone promises me? So for those people, this will be a surprise. The surprise for me was just how impactful it is, just how important. And here's why it's so interesting. I'm laughing because I don't often put in gotchas. This is real research. But we realized the cloud is one of these things that is not well defined. Or if it is, it's really one of those terms that, like, everyone throws around. Of course, I'm doing the cloud. We first asked a question, to what extent do your products and services that you spend most of your time on are in the cloud? To what degree do you agree with that? And then a little bit later, we asked a similar set of questions about, to what extent about the products and services that you're primarily working on, do they meet a few core things? But they were characteristics. So it wasn't just, are they in the cloud? It was, do they use on-demand self-service? Can you provision resources as you need without, for example, filling in a ticket? Are no humans involved? Number two was, do you have broad network access? Capabilities can be accessed through any type of platform, phone, tablet, workstation. Number three is resource pooling. Resources are pooled in a multi-tenant model. Number four is rapid elasticity. You can provision, you can easily scale outward and inward. And then number five is measured service. Now, this comes from NIST, National Institute of Standards and Technology. This is the definition of what cloud computing is. So when I compare the people who say they're in the cloud and the people who are actually doing cloud computing right, only 22% of people, our respondents, are actually doing cloud right. Okay, now this was the surprise. For people who are doing all five of essential characteristics, they're 23 times more likely to be in the highest performing group. And I knew it was going to be a big difference, but 23 times? That's our disconnect. For all of these executives that say, well, I'm doing cloud, but I don't see the disconnect. I'm not seeing the investment. Okay, but are you doing it right? Are you really executing on everything you should be executing on? Or have you redefined it because we need to have something that we say we've done by the end of the quarter, by the end of the year?
What do you mean by highest performing? Is this people who are making the most money, the people who are getting the best return on investment, the people who are meeting all of their goals for deploying new systems or solutions? What does it mean?
For the last several years, we have used a statistical method. Again, this is very, very rigorous. We want to understand and identify groups. and we focus on outcomes. In this case, we're talking about DevOps, right? I'm using finger quotes a little bit here. We're talking about DevOps. When we talk about DevOps, we want to talk about technology and developing and delivering software with speed and stability. When we do that, I take four measures that capture that well. These four measures belong together statistically. They've been found to be, all 5 years in a row now, statistically significant classifiers for group membership. Whatever these groups are, these measures fall into two categories, speed and stability, like I said. So the speed measures are deployment frequency, how often you push code into prod, lead time for changes, so code commit to code deploy. The stability measures are time to restore service and change fail rate. Now, it's interesting because when we first started doing this, it was like, well, the DevOps group, the DevOps camp of people say that these should all be possible. And other groups say, maybe not. In order to be stable, you must slow down. So we took all of these four measures, throw them in the hopper, and we see how they group, completely data-driven. In statistics, it's called a cluster analysis. We see how they cluster. They cluster together. We have a group that is doing very well on all measures, high speed, high stability. By cluster, I mean they're statistically similar to each other and different from every other group. And then we have another group that's at the far end doing poorly on everything. Again, similar to each other, different from every other group. And then we've got a group in the middle, statistically similar to each other and worse than the best group and better than the worst group. I'm real creative, so I've always called them high performers, medium performers, low performers.
DevOps is not a new approach. It's been around for a long time. There have been books written about it for years now. There are consultants out there who will tell you they've got 10 plus years experience of doing this sort of thing. Why do we have such a difference between those who fall into your high performing groups who are getting there and the low performing groups who are seemingly stumbling in the dark still?
I think we have a few answers to this. One is that it's difficult. It really is. If we look back at tech in the 80s and the 90s, you could win with tech by buying it and using it because not everyone had it. You really could at least get ahead a tiny bit by doing that. Number two is that it comes down to execution. This is a great example in case of what I was talking about with cloud. You can't just, to quote Corey Quinn, you can't slap a sticker on your data center and say, now I'm in the cloud. You really have to invest. And by invest, I do mean money, but I also mean time and people, resources. You have to invest to do it right. You can't just buy something and plug it in and walk away and say, oh, I've got the cloud now. It has to be done correctly, which again is difficult.
That's interesting because if we look around what we do, we see some interesting parallels to that. So, for example, a lot of companies try to push their code and their applications into the cloud. They put it in a VM. What they've discovered is they cannot run the same code base in the cloud as they can on-premises. They have to completely re-architect. CloudBees has discovered that with Jenkins. 2 weeks ago with Atlassian, they were talking about this as a major challenge. And they're all saying customers are starting to realize that. The same is true for how we code. Do you think part of the problem here is that there's an assumption that there's a shortcut to getting places?
There's a hope that there's a shortcut. I'm with you. I would love if there was something easy that I could do and like check the box off and get a fat bonus check. When I do my to-do list, I always check one or two easy things off and then I get to the hard things and I get kind of to the medium things. This is just not one of those real easy things, but that's not to discourage you. That's why it's one of those things that really drives and delivers competitive advantage. Now, I will say, I guess a couple things here. One is that it's not unachievable. The high-performing group is 48% of our sample this year. It's grown drastically from where we started. It's absolutely possible to get there. This should be so encouraging for so many people. Yes, it's difficult, but it's not impossible. It's not this special club reserved for unicorns or rainbows or like whatever mythical creature you want to think up. It's absolutely possible. I think there's one more reason why we're seeing this big divide and this big disconnect between the high performers and low performers, particularly across years. It's sad and a little disappointing, but we have this set of companies that are basically just holdouts. They keep insisting they don't need to change. They want to keep holding on to waterfall or phase gate software development delivery. They think it's fine to release code once a year, maybe twice a year. And they dig their heels in. And I talk to them and I say, there are so many risks associated with this. this is not a great way to deliver code. And they say, no. Like, they insist this will be fine.
I find that an interesting answer because I sit as both an analyst and as a journalist. I go into a lot of companies and I find that they break into two groups for me. The first is companies that have very little infrastructure. They're new companies. They're open. They're adaptive. They will go for this because they don't have anything blocking them. Then I get to established companies, and the further they move up the compliance scale, the more regulated they are as a business, the more blockers they put in place to that point where they just don't necessarily want to change because it's too hard, it's too complicated, we'll have to redo all this. Does any of that come out in your survey? Did you find that there was a size of company or a particular industry that was the most resistant?
I love that you asked this too. For the last couple of years, I've taken a look at industry. Before, we've said industry doesn't matter. We've taken a look at the data, and we've seen all types of industries among high performers, including those highly regulated industries. We've seen all types of industries among low performers, including little startups. This year, I took an even more rigorous approach. I evaluated and analyzed the data across a dozen different industries to see if any particular industry mattered more, not just highly regulated, not highly regulated, but even into things like telecom and healthcare and pharma and finance, because someone could maybe argue that they're even more highly regulated than someone else. It's not significant for software development and delivery. It's just not. Now, I will say it probably does make things more difficult in some cases. Absolutely. But it doesn't make it impossible. This is my other sub footnote. No excuses. Do the work. Execute. Find ways to get past those blockers that you just talked about. But anyone can win here. And I think, again, that's so encouraging.
Hopefully next year, when you relook at the research, you're going to find it's all very different and people have finally got the message. Dr. Nicole, thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you.